Can I ask you to read or turn over to John chapter 10 and verse 10, please? John chapter 10 and verse 10. We're going to have a, what we used to call a sword drill. The Bible is the sword of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. If you're carrying a New Testament, it's just a switchblade. Okay, but if you carry the whole Bible, it's a sword. All right, just play it. Okay. John chapter 10 and verse 10. My suggestion for you is that you get John chapter 10 and verse 10. The only reason the devil comes around is to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy your life. God and the devil both have kingdoms. And the devil hates your guts because you were made in the image of God. You were made so that God could live inside of you. You were made so that God could flow, live in you, and then flow through you. He could minister through you like no other being on earth. We can see God when we go out into nature. I can look and see the sun come up. Have you ever been up for a sunrise? Have you ever seen a beautiful sunrise? Personally, not in a picture I'm talking about. Not something that was doctored, but something that was of God. And it just breaks right in front of you. Now, my wife does some pretty pictures, but I'm going to tell you what. When God does a sunrise, that's incredible. And as I've driven around this country, I have seen some beautiful sights. Rolling valleys, majestic mountains, beautiful things in the sky, birds. Sometimes just see birds. Just see like a flock of flamingos, you know? Of course, you have to go to Florida to see that, but that's where I'm from, so I did, you know. But the devil hates your guts. The devil is your enemy. We're going to talk about him today. I'm going to encourage you to take John chapter 10 and to memorize it. And the way you memorize it, whenever I challenge you to do these things, it's because it's going to help you tremendously. John 10 verse 10, Jesus said, the thief, the devil, the thief cometh not but for one reason. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, in comparison, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Would you like to have life, or you like to keep existing? Do you want to exist, or would you rather have life? Before I met Jesus, I existed. I wanted to kill myself a number of times. I was afraid of death. That's what stopped me. Okay? But I looked at life, and I looked at all the people around me, and I saw that most people were miserable. And I didn't like life. I mean, I've always been a hyperactive person. I've always been kind of an excitable person, somebody that would go around and try to encourage people or stuff. But cause that's my personality, how God made me, you know, Energizer Bunny, you know. I had to pose for that, you know. And, sorry. But anyway, the point really is that in life, I didn't know any life skills. I didn't know how to deal with pain. I didn't know how to deal with rejection. I didn't know how to deal in relationships of the giving and the taking, and a whole lot more giving than taking. I didn't understand how to deal with all kinds of things, the injustices, the inequities in life I didn't know how to deal with. My parents didn't teach me how to do that. They just taught me how to be a hard worker and got on me to make straight A's in school. Okay? And I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying that they didn't have a lot of those life skills, so they couldn't teach them to me. When you come here, I want to help you learn life skills. God wants to help you learn life skills. God gave you a manual. I'm not talking about something Spanish here. God gave you a manual. Whenever you get something and it's got directions, have you ever been a dad or a mom and you get something for your kids? Let's say it's at Christmas and you go to try to put it together and your mate or somebody says, "How you doing?" And you're like, "I'm so frustrated." And they like, "Did you read the directions?" "No, I just started putting it together." What? I wonder why. Dudley recently, a grill died. And mine died around the same time, so I went and bought a grill. I thought, "Oh, I got me a good deal. It was under $100. I'm tired of buying an expensive one, and then they don't last very long anyway, so I thought I'd just buy a cheap one. And when it's time, I'll just do the American thing and throw it away and go buy another one." So I bought one. I got it for like $88, and I thought, boy, I did good. Do you know how long it took me to put that thing together? 3.5 hours. Now, I followed the directions. I did, Mark. I put those directions out in front of me. You know, they were for like little kids like me. They had pictures and little arrows drawing with all the numbers over here telling what the things were. Because I don't know what these little things are called. But it took me 3.5 hours to put it together. Dudley found out I put it together, and he said, "You know," he said, "if you'd like to give me that grill, I'd take it." I said, "I'd be glad to give it to you. I go buy you one and let you." "No, no," he says, no. "I want one that you've put together." He said, "I don't want to spend 3.5 hours. I'm like, "Thank you, Dudley. Okay. Have fun at your house, okay, because I'm going to use my grill and it's still at my house." There are instructions. Now, folks, when I talk to you about reading the Bible, I'm talking to you about reading God's instruction manual for life. Now, hear me. You've tried everything but Jesus. We call it ABC, anything but Christ. Okay? And that's the way most people live, right? Anything but Christ. And we try it, and it doesn't work. "How's your marriage?" And then y'all don't want to talk about it anymore. "How's your job?" And you just get mad and thinking about your boss. And I'm sorry. My condolences. I'm his boss. And folks, God has an instruction manual. And His way works. We've said it. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. When we submit to His Lordship, it works. Is your way working outside of Him? Anybody want to give testimony? "My way's working outside of God." See, I meet people and they tell me their way is. But when I ask their mates or their kids or I look at them, it doesn't seem to be working to me. Their kids are in jail or pregnant without being married, and all the different things happen, and the wife, you keep buying bigger cars so they can sit further apart. You know? How's that working? I want to help you, because where He found me, I didn't know any of these answers. And I just started reading the manual and started doing this. John 10:10, "You have an enemy. He's the enemy of your soul. He hates your guts. He'll let you do anything but Christ. He'll let you go to church. He'll even let you serve in a church. Just don't read your Bible and don't follow the Bible. But you could do anything else and He won't bother you. But when you make a choice that Jesus is your Lord, when you make a choice that you're going to start reading that word on a regular basis, He's going to come against you. We're going to talk about how to overcome the devil. Would you like to know how to do that? Would you like to know how to have victory in your life? from the instruction manual? That's what we're going to talk about. Okay? John 10:10, we just said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's have a word of prayer. God, I don't want to just say what I want to say. I want to say what you want. And so, Lord, I want to read your word, and I'm asking that you would be in the middle of this. I ask that you would open our hearts, open our ears. Lord, we've already made a decision. We want you. We want you to come live in us. And Lord, today we want to be attentive and don't let anything, any way of the enemy stop us from hearing or applying what we hear today. Help us to apply, to put into practice what we hear so our life would begin, we would begin to live with you, Jesus, instead of exist being dominated by the devil. And we just say, thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. We trust you. Thank you for loving us and providing a way for us. Amen. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm gonna read some verses. Let's read some verses. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. I told you this could be a sword drill today. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. I want you to notice something about the devil. He's called, are you there? Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. He's called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Question. What's some of the names of the devil? Just from this verse. What's some of the names of him? Dragon. Okay, so are dragons good? Oh, just wanted to help you get that. If you got dragons in your house, get them out. Okay? If you got them in your life, get them out. Go ahead. What else? What else is he called? The serpent. I can show you a good snake. I told you, when I met Sue, she had a 14-foot Burmese python in her house. I opened the door thinking I was going to the bathroom, because she told me it was the first door. It looked like a closet to me, but I'm a literalist. So if somebody tells me the first door, I open the first door. The closet was full of snake. Not snakes, snake. This big around. I slammed the door shut, and I said, there's a snake in there! And she said, you didn't hurt it, did you? And I said, give me an axe, and I'll make it a good snake. So the devil's called the serpent. What else is he called? A devil. Now look at, just take the D off the front. What do you have? Wow. And then just add O to God, and what do you have? Good. And I mean, is there simple? Oh God. That's my simple sister back there. We protect her on the back row. She sleeps with little cushions around her to keep her from falling off the bed. Be careful with her, okay? Oh, God, thank you. I'll never forget that. God, you add O to God, you got good. You take the D off the devil and you got evil. It's pretty simple, good and evil. Okay? That's where we got those words, by the way. But anyway, so what's the names of the devil? He's called a great dragon. He's called the serpent. He's called the devil. And he's called Satan. Okay? Now, what does it say he does? Wow. Now, let's think about that. What is that word? We could go on. If you only knew how many verses I have to give you. But God said to me this morning when I was putting all this together, or adding to it, I should say, because it already was put together before. He said, ask questions. Because I want to help you. So the Bible says that the devil deceives the whole world. What does the word deceive mean? False. Sorry? False. Lie. Trick. Lead astray. I like that. Trick. Corrupt. Mislead. Corrupt. Not good. Now think about all those words you just said. He said he deceives the whole world. He tricks. He leads astray. He's not good. He, whatever, lies. All these words. Think about that. He, and he tries to get you to believe him. I can't wait. Okay, watch this. Do you know why he gets people to believe lies? Can I teach you just one little key that if you get this one little key, I promise it will revolutionize your whole life. Do you know why people believe, why the devil can trick people? Do you know why? Do you have any idea? Because they don't know the truth. What? They're not grounded in the word. What else would? Sounds good. It sounds good. It looks like it's going to feel good, doesn't it? The Bible says, there's pleasure in sin for a season. When I did wrong, it feels good. Until afterwards. And now you got to pay for it. The way I heard a preacher say it was, sin is fun for a season, and then cometh payday. Now you got to pay for it. Oh, that was good. I told you I was smoking a joint with a guy one day, before I met Jesus, and the guy, I didn't know him, and we were riding along, and he said, pull over here. And I pulled over in this place, and he jumped out and ran behind the building. I'm like, what's he doing? It looked like an industrial complex. He came back with a set of scales. I said, what are you doing? It was a pharmaceutical supply, and he broke in and got a set of scales and said, I'm getting these for you. I said, don't you put those in my car. He said, well, you were just talking about you want a good set of scales. You didn't have a good set of scales. I was a drug dealer, for crying out loud. And I was talking about that. I don't know what. I'm just telling you the truth, though. Now watch this. And I said, do not put those in my car. I said, either you go put them back, you put them on the ground, and you get in my car, but either way, I'm driving off, with or without you. But those are not coming in my car. I didn't steal. I may have been a drug dealer, but I didn't steal. Okay? How we get there? What were we talking about? The devil. He makes it feel good. He makes it seem like something you want. But see, I had seen a movie one time. My mom helped me, and she let me see this movie of two young men that went to prison. I think the name of the movie was called The Glass House. And I was a little boy. And these two men went to prison. And when they got in there, the inmates said about the one boy, hey, he ain't got any feathers on him. And man, he didn't have any hair on him. They thought, we'll make him our girl. However you want to say that. If anybody needs clarification, ask somebody else later, because I don't want to talk about it. In the movie, they caught him in the weight room, and they made him a girl. They treated him like a girl. That boy came out, and he went up to the highest level in the, whatever you call it, you know, where you're incarcerated. Yep, he climbed on the outside, and a crowd gathered. And his friend that he came in there with, or brother, whoever it was, said, don't do this. But the boy had been violated. He couldn't live with himself. And he let go of the rail and did a nosedive about four stories. They scraped him up and put him in a mayonnaise jar. You understand? Now, I saw that as a little boy. Oh, you shouldn't show stuff like that. It gave me the idea. You make choices, you're going to pay for them. See, my mom, if you didn't do what she said, she had a belt without a buckle. And she was not a big woman, but she'd get a hold of you. And as you ran in circles, she whipped the daylights out of you. And my dad, when he came along, he gave me spankings. And you know what? I got them every day. Now, I didn't like getting spankings, but I'm going to tell you what. It helped me a lot. Because I was willful. I mean, I'm a rascal now. Every one of you knows me. You know that. You should have seen me before Jesus, and then you should have seen me when I was a little kid, before I had some stuff beat out of me. What I'm going to say is it got my attention because sin demands a payment. Sin demands a payment. And the devil hates your guts. And he wants you to do anything but Christ. Is that hard? A, B, C? Anything but Christ? That's what he wants you to do. Anything but Christ. He hates your guts. He will take you further than you want to go. I didn't mean to go here. I've had people, so many people, I've gone to jails, prisons, ministered, talked to people on the streets, people that are over in Guiding Light and all these places. I didn't mean to go there. I didn't mean to do that. Here's the key. We'll get to it in a minute. I'll give you a scripture on it. And that's this. This little key will revolutionize your life. You ready? Let's see if I can. I'll give it to you out of here. And then how does he get power? Look at John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. What does that say? Somebody read that out loud. Read the whole verse. Nope. Okay, who's got it already? Okay.
The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. You could choose Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed. He said, I am the way. What are you going to do with Jesus? I'm asking you. What are you going to do with Jesus? Because he says he's the way. Then he says he's the truth. Here's the principle. And we're going to go, I'm going to give you two more verses. We're going to look at chapter 8. Go ahead and turn to chapter 8, verse 32. But here's the principle. When we reject truth, when truth is rejected, lies are believed. When truth is rejected, lies are believed. Here's another one. When you turn from the light, you're going to walk in. Is there a choice? If you turn from the light, you go into a house, it's uninhabited. Oh, let's go search his house. Let's go explore. And one guy's got the flashlight. I'm with him. Because, dude, when he's walking that when he's walking this way and I decide I'm going this way, dude, the first thing I do, that's the Bible even says it in Proverbs. When you walk in darkness, you know not at what you stumble. Because you stumble, you fall down, you don't even know what it was that knocked you down. When you turn from the light, you are going to walk in darkness. When you reject the truth, who is the truth? Unless he's a liar. Let's go ahead and get that settled right now. Do you believe Jesus is the truth or is he a liar? I'm asking you. Because it doesn't matter what you say to me. It matters what you believe. And when you walk out this door, you see, I can only help you for like an hour or so, however long y'all can stand. Okay? Or sit. I have noticed when they get dead on one end, they get dead on the other. So you got to quit sometime. Okay? But they told me in Africa, they don't never get dead on that end. So they told me I can just talk forever over there. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to see what that's like, you know? What you do with Jesus. What you believe. See, I believe Jesus is the truth. He's not a truth. He is the truth. He is what I based my whole life on. I told you I got saved by reading the instruction manual. That's how I came to him. And then after I found him, I said, okay, if I found him that way, then here's how I'm going to follow him. So I just started reading this over and over. That's why I've read it 75 times. I'm not saying that to say, oh, look at me, I'm full of pride. No, I'm saying that because it is so important to read it. How many meals have you eaten in life? Okay, let's just pick somebody. How many meals have you eaten, Don?
14,436.
Okay, yeah. Now, think about that. And yet, I read the Word, he and I are around the same age, I read the Word 75 times. But he's eaten 14,000 meals. You see, you can eat a meal, and it'll feed your flesh and keep you going. But when you read God's instruction manual, it will feed your spirit, and it will keep you going. You can go without food. God has me go without food. It doesn't look like it, but you ought to see when I eat all the time. Okay? God has me go without food every week. It's called fasting. And there's a reason He has me do that. I can live without food because I can live off the fat of the land. I have fasted for 40 days before. You can live just drinking water. You can live. It's okay. I'm telling you. The main battle is in your mind. You just think you got to feed your face. You don't. But I'm going to tell you this. In Matthew 4:4, you ought to get that verse. I'm sorry, I tell you about this about every verse, don't I? But I'm sorry. But you ought to get, I can't help it. They're all so good. It's not like Jesus cooks bad. Every part of the meal is good. You know what I mean? Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, now watch, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every single word. I need every word. That's why it's important what you start with. That's why we use the King James Bible around here. You got to be careful. Other ones will leave words out that are... And Jesus said it's every word. It's important. You need to meditate on those words. John 14:6, and Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're in John chapter 8 and verse 32, aren't you? And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Did you like it when you were in jail? Do you like it when you look at your life and you feel like you're in bondage? Do you like it when you look at your mate and feel like you're in bondage? Do you like the way your body and your mind and your spirit feel when you're in bondage? Do you like that? No. Let me give you a thought. Just because you know a truth doesn't set you free. You have to live the truth. Not just know it. You already know a lot of truths that you're not living. Anybody? Does that hit anybody? You already know truths that you're not living. Hey, let's get real for a minute. Can we get real just to help you get free? What if I went around the room and asked each one of you, what's a truth that you're not living right now? Whoa. What's a truth that you know that you're not living right now? Okay. So we won't do that publicly because all of you, you know, I could see everybody was jumping at the bit. Couldn't wait to be the first one. Yeah. But I meant specifically. Specifically, what's a truth that we're not living? Like, give me an example. Somebody give me an example. Gene, you know what? That is so awesome. That is so awesome that you said that. When, right now, why don't we break agreement with what it is we're not living? Why don't we right now tell God, God, I have this truth, because a truth came to your mind when I asked the question, didn't it? Something came to your mind. When you ask yourself, what's a truth that I know that I'm not living? It could be in your daily habits. It could be in your daily choices. It could be toward your mate. It could be with God. You see, and it doesn't make you feel good, does it? So you feel bound. That's why you all got quiet. That's why all of you didn't want to look me in the eye. Y'all looked at something else. Or if you did, you had this look of fear. You know, you should have seen you. Yeah, it's funny to be a preacher sometimes. You look at people, you know. Other times it's scary. Okay? I'm trying to help you. God, right now, there are truths that I know that I'm not living. God, I don't want to serve the devil by living the lie. I don't want to avoid the truth. I want to live the truth. God, teach me how this week to start walking more in the truth. To quit making excuses. To quit procrastinating, putting things off. It's not a virtue. Please teach me how to begin to live truth more so that I can experience the freedom you want me to have. Thank you, Jesus. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son, Jesus, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's people that promise you freedom, but they bring you into bondage. Jesus, when he promises freedom, every time you step into the light of his word, every time you step into the light of his truth, it's like it sets you free. Anybody, is that true? Is that true? Or is it the opposite? Has it ever been the opposite? You step into the light of truth and it binds you up? But, I'm sorry? When you're in the darkness. Correct. Okay? Now, look at John 8:44. You're in the same chapter. Look at John 8:44. It says, ye are of your father, the devil. He's talking to people that have the devil as their father. That's a scary thought. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, exalted be thy name. Is he your father? Remember they used to say, who's your daddy? It's either God or it's all snake breath. I'm sorry, I can't find snake breath in there, but we'll call him Lucifer, serpent, dragon, snake, Lucifer, Satan, what? Devil, demon, okay? The accuser of the brethren. Who's your daddy? Look at verse 44. He says, he's talking to some religious leaders. Oh, I'm religious. I'm sorry about that. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust, the strong evil desires of your father, ye will do. You see, the nuts don't fall too far from the tree. Whatever daddy's doing, that's what the kids do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he abode or stayed or stood not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He could have truth brought right to him, but he can't stand in it. He has to get out of it because it makes him uncomfortable. Do you understand? I told you I grew up in Florida, and down there they have roaches. Y'all call them palmetto bugs. Down there we call them roaches. What y'all have for roaches up here must be their little cousins or something, because you got like little guys. These dudes were like, I mean, if you squish them, you needed a shovel to clean them up, okay? I mean, it was a mess, okay? My dad used to make me sick hitting him with his shoe on the, whatever you call that thing where the fire goes, you know? And it's like, oh, Dad, you know? I'd get up in the middle of the night to get water, and I'd turn the lights on in the kitchen. It was covered with roaches. And when you turn the lights on, the roaches flee. When you bring truth to people that are children of the devil, they don't want to be around it. They can't stand it. Anybody agree? You understand? Now, I want you to notice the devil, it says, he's a murderer from the beginning. His whole plan is to kill you, to destroy you, to cut you off. If you're not going to be his child, he's not going to allow you to live. He's going to do what he can. Okay? And it says, and he will not stand or stay in the truth. Is this a lie?
No.
What is it?
True.
Can you stay in this book? Do you get what I'm saying? Can you stay in this book? Can you keep opening this book and stay in it? Can you keep opening this book every day and letting God speak truth to you? Can you keep opening this book every day and stay in the light? Because when light comes, it reveals the roaches. And we all have roaches in our life, don't we? When you start reading the book, it's going to expose the darkness. Now, all you got to do is say, God, it's true, but I don't want it anymore. Do you get it? Okay, let's try saying that together. God, it's true, but I don't want it anymore. We got a song. I only want Jesus living in me. Only want Jesus living in me. Want no bad devils going to kick him out. Want no bad devils going to kick him out. Only want Jesus living in me all the time. So when you're reading and all of a sudden some darkness is revealed in your life, God, it's true. Don't argue. Don't justify. Don't blame shift. It's her fault. It's in your life. It's not her fault. We call it jading. Justifying. Well, I'm not as bad as others. Well, it's not too bad. It's not as bad as what I used to do. Jading. Arguing, justifying, arguing, defending, explaining, excusing, and blame shifting. I just throw the B in there. Because it's part of that whole system. When we read the Word, we stay in the truth. We stay in the light. We stand with Jesus. We stand with Jesus. We stand as we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides, stands with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Now, folks, Jesus turned the world upside down with 12 people. And one of them was a traitor. One of them had the wrong daddy. Jesus gave him a chance. Jesus brought him into the light. Jesus had him stand near him. But the guy didn't make the right choices. But Jesus had 11 others. And he turned the whole world upside down with truth and light. Because he had people like my little simple sister back there. Says, oh God. And she realized, I can't do this without you, God. And that's what the disciples said. I can't do this without you. And he came and did it through them. That when you bring light into a dark room, the whole room lights up. And what Jesus did was, he had people that made a choice. They were going to stay in the truth. Even when they didn't like it, they were going to stay in the light. Even when it exposed what was in them. And they just kept staying in the light. And so everywhere they went, they were like what those kids were singing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go. So everywhere I go, if I'm a light, I'm bringing light into that dark place. They turned the world upside down for God. Because they stayed in the truth. I'm telling you that because we're down to about 11. Not really, but I'm just giving you an idea. God wants people that want to stay in the truth. They're going to stay in the Word. They're going to stay in the light. They're going to walk in it. When the light exposes what's in you, admit it. When I got in church, God, I'm afraid to open my mouth. When I cuss, I cuss so much I need an interpreter when I speak. I've never heard anybody cuss as bad as I used to cuss. When I first walked in church after I got saved, I am serious. I was afraid to open my mouth. I thought the roof would cave in. I am not playing. I still remember 1977, walking in that church building, big old vaulted ceiling, you know, huge building. I thought it would fall in if I opened my mouth. So I kept my mouth shut. You know what God did with me? Immediately, He delivered me from cussing. Just took it all away from me. God, I'm drinking. You know, I quit drinking when they invented the funnel. You know, it was like I drank like a fish. You understand? And it was like God started dealing with me. And I said, God, yes, I drink. 162 verses in this Bible against drinking. I don't think God has a stuttering problem. I think He's trying to get our attention. God, yes, I drink. But God, I don't. If that's you don't want me to do that, deliver me from it. Come Jesus me. The name Jesus means to deliver. Set me free. Jesus, I just want You. But I don't know. I can't get there. You come get me there. See, my life is a praise to Him. It's not that I'm better or good. How many times have I said, hi, I'm the leader. If you expect me to be better than you, I promise I'll let you down. Because I am a good example of a rotten sinner. But when we walk around with all this religious jargon, all these words, and all saying all this stuff and acting like we're better, and now we're looking down, we start keeping some rules, and then we start judging others. Well, I don't dress like you. I dress up. I don't act like you. I don't do this. I don't do that. I keep the rules. Is that Jesus? There's a Pharisee. That's a religious stuff shirt. We don't need any peacocks. We don't need any little banty roosters with their chest stuck out. Hi, I'm God's gift to the world. We need people that are on their knees. You'll never be taller than when you're on your knees. Amen. I got something from one of my daughters for Father's Day, and it said, it's not how tall. It says, Father, it's not how tall you are, but how often you bend to help, serve, and comfort. Help, comfort, and teach those around you. You are never taller than when you're on your knees, when you're depending on God, leaning on God, trusting in God. I want to help you with your whole life, folks. I'm not just trying to, I could preach up a storm. I could make this into 3 points and an outline, give you a bunch of little stories, make you all laugh. Ha ha. Oh, isn't he a wonderful preacher? People just say that about me. I don't give a flip about that. I want to help you with life skills, words that are going to help you for the rest of your life. Get this principle out of these verses. The verses that we gave you were John 14:6. John 8:32, John 8:36, and John 8:44. When truth is rejected, lies are believed. Realize that Jesus is the truth. The way I've said it for years is if you reject the truth, you're going to believe lies, live lies, and you'll tell lies. Because sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Your wish, remember when you were sinning and you wished you could get out of there, but something kept you there? And it'll cost you way more than you want to pay. I've never gotten over that Jesus said, Father, give me what Harvey deserves. And he paid for all my sin. And it's like when I sinned, the other day, he was showing me pride in me. And I was thinking about that. And then all of a sudden, the goodness of God reminded me, what I remembered was the goodness of God, that even when I've got pride, he still flows through me. Every day he touches people through me, even though I'm not perfect. God's not looking for you to be perfect. God's looking for you to make a choice that He's going to be your Lord. He's going to be your choice. You're going to give your life to Him because He wants to give His life to you. It's an exchange. It's called a swap meet. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. This is on the side. These of y'all go look up later. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's a swap meet. Here's another swap meet verse. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Look, I found my life. I'm a success. I do this. I do that. Ba-bah, ba-bah, ba-bah. Everybody look at me. I. He that findeth his life shall lose it. I meet people. I'm in people's homes. I was in a home this week. You needed breadcrumbs to find your way out of there. How do you get out of here? This house is so big. The guy followed him through the maze. I get all the way back to the bedroom, the bathroom. He shows me what needs to be done. And I go, okay, I got to get my equipment, but how do I find my way out of here? You've been there. You've been in these houses. And man, they got more than heart could wish. I've gone into people's houses and went in their garage and they got a plane in their garage. They built a garage for their plane. The guy who ran for governor, Dick DeVos, one of my guys called me, Larry. And he says, I've never been in a mansion before. I said, what do you mean? He said, and this was during the race, the voting time, whatever you call it. You know what I mean? Whatever you call that. Election time, you know? Oh, help me, okay? I'm challenged too. I told you that's my simple sister. I'm the simple brother, okay? And he said, I've never been in a mansion before. I said, what do you mean? He said, you can't believe the size of this house and how many rooms and everything. He said, do you know whose house I'm in? I'm like, no. This high-end remodeling company called me to go do this job. And I just sent you there. I said, I don't know where it is. He said, I'm in Dick DeVos's house. I said, the guy running for governor? He goes, yeah. But you know what? I'm not talking about him, but I'm saying I've been in houses where people have all this money and all this stuff. They're miserable. They're dead. You look in their eyes. There's no life. You reach over and touch their, you're feeling for pulse because there's no life in their eyes. They're mean. They're demanding. They're harsh. Their kids are a mess. You know, just, and they're mates. And it breaks my heart. They've got more than heart could wish. And they're empty. They're miserable. Folks, God wants you to have life. The enemy wants to kill you. He hates you. When you reject the truth, when you and I reject the truth, any truth, we're going to believe a lie. Now, you say, but I didn't reject the truth. Okay, here's how we reject the truth. No, I'm going to ask you first. How do we reject the truth? How does somebody reject the truth, John? Pride. Okay, but in a practical way, how does somebody reject the truth? Okay, not, okay. Think, oh. Dude, he's got some good answers here. I'm going to have to hang out with him, learn some stuff here. A know-it-all. I already know. Hmm. Dear Holy Spirit, help me to be aware every time the words come out of my mouth, I already know. Matter of fact, make it so that I can become aware before they come out of my mouth, so that I humble myself, so I can be teachable instead of a know-it-all. I got a little saying. When you say, I already know, you stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. I already know stops the flow of the Holy Spirit. I had to live that a long time to get that. How do we reject a truth? How is a truth rejected? By refusing to listen to others. That's what he was saying, but the same way. But you said it. I'm glad both of y'all together. How do we reject a truth? These are good. How do we reject a truth? Okay. How do we reject a truth? By not living it. Okay, watch this. Oh, I believe the truth. I know all these things you're teaching, Pastor Harvey. I believe the truth. What are you living? What are you living? Are you living the truth? Well, denial is another way to reject the truth. See, it's not just knowing it. It's living it. Faith is an action word. Yeah, where's the fruit? See, people, I get around people and they start blowing their horn. I know this and I know that. And God said all this about me. And I said, well, let's talk to your mate. All of a sudden, they don't want to talk no more. Let's talk to your kids. They don't want to talk anymore. Let's talk to your boss. They don't want to talk anymore. If it's true, why isn't it true for the people around you? If it's true in your life, wouldn't it be true for the people around you? And if it's not, then it's not really true, is it? We're in deception. We're hearing the devil. Because he deceives us. When we reject the truth, we believe a lie, live lies, and tell lies. Truth is more than knowledge. It has to be acted on. Faith is an action word. Turn over to Acts chapter 13, verses 7 through 12. Acts 13, 7 through 12. We'll end with this. Is that where we, I think. I'm going to give you one more thing after this, and then we'll end, okay? I'm sorry. But there's a reason. You'll understand when I get there. I'm sorry. Okay, well, I thought I heard the wheels coming down, but we got to make one more pass around the airport, okay? Acts 13, verse 7. Somebody want to read that out loud? Acts 13 and verse 7. You got that?
Yeah.
Would you like to read that?
Sure.
Go ahead, verses 7 through 12.
Which was with the deputy of the country,
Sergius Paulus,
a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But
Elymas
the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Through 12.
Yeah.
And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord.
I wrote next to this, thank you very much, God bless you. I wrote next to this that this is a child of the devil defined. What do you see about this man? Elymas, the sorcerer. What do you see about him? What does it say? He hates the truth. He tries to stop others from hearing the truth. He tries to stop the truth from being put forth. What else? What did he call him? I don't know what the verse is where it says, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief. What does it say about him? He perverts the right ways of the Lord. I know the ways of the Lord, but perverting them is to twist them, to change them, to alter them. People tell me that they have righteousness or that they are righteous, but God says what's righteous. Does our life line up with the Word to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Thank you, Dave. Do you hear what he just said? Do you hear what he just said? Say that again.
I said this guy, he hates the truth, but he has action trying to stop the truth, so it shows he hates it. Us loving the truth, do we take action to show that we love the truth?
Man. Good. Now we got wanted y'all to me to ask y'all questions so y'all could preach. All right. I have a lot of verses, but I'm only going to give you one passage. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6. This is how we overcome the devil. I could tell you all kinds of things. The weapons used by Jesus to acknowledge the truth, to resist in the faith, not be a novice as a leader, learn to follow. You must have a good report of them which are without. The devils are subject to us through the name of Jesus. By the way, there was a guy that somebody was filled with a demon. And this guy, four guys, thought, hey, we saw this done by a preacher. We'll do this. And they said, demon, you come out of that man. And the demon says, Jesus I know, and that preacher I know, but who are you? And he jumped out of them, jumped out of that guy and beat the four of them up. And they ran out of that house naked, stripped them. Now, what I'm saying is, there's people that use formulas in the name of Jesus, this and that. They even in their prayers, blah, 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 in the name of Jesus. It's not a magic term. It means I am submitted to His authority. And therefore, He sends me forth with authority. One time I was at a meeting and somebody went to pray over me and they said, do you know that the devils are scared of you? They said, God just said the devils are scared of you. And what God told me about that was, He said, Harvey, the reason, He said, you're no better than anybody else. The reason they're scared of you is because you know my authority. You know my word. And you walk in my authority. So the devil doesn't have any power over me. And he doesn't need to have power over you. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. Y'all got good questions. Write down Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. There's another one where it says Luke 10:17-20. The devils are subject to us through Jesus' name. But it's because they had the authority of Jesus. Every single one of you can. But it has to start with you being under His authority. Amen. If you are not under His authority, you do not have His authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now let's go back to the one passage that I was going to give you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. I'm not even going to read the whole thing. We're only going to read verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. You need to be a good soldier. And you need to go look up Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And you need to find out what that armor is. It talks about, let me use your Bible, please. It talks about, got to make sure you have the right sword. You want part of the armor? If you were going to go into battle, you got to have a weapon. And your weapon is the Word of God. When the devil himself came to confront Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus every time when the devil came at Jesus, Jesus said, "It is written." And he quoted the Word of God. And the devil was, he tried coming at him from another way. He tried to put a kung fu on his tutu. And Jesus said, "Ha! It is written." He didn't do all this. You know, he didn't do all that. You know what he did? He pulled out what the Bible calls the sword of the Lord. You'll find it in Ephesians chapter 6 there. And it says, the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. And he stabbed the devil in the heart with the truth. That roach couldn't stand the light. He had to flee. He couldn't overcome him. There's a reason I tell you to read the Word. There's a reason I tell you to stand with Jesus in the Word. There's a reason I tell you to stay in the light. Because that's how you're going to get victory. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about the shield of faith. It talks about your feet. What do you do with feet? Four-letter word ends with walk. What is it? Walk. Okay. That's the simple brother married to the simple sister. Okay. Dude, we are going to work with you. He said crawl. He can't even count. That's five. But anyway. Are you ready? It said your feet need to be shod, or you need to have on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, you need to be willing to go, like Don was saying earlier, not just are you a professor of God, but are you a real possessor? Oh, I love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, don't just talk the talk. How many of you like hypocrites? How many of you want to be one? Are you ready? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you need to be willing to go forth and tell others about Jesus. Help them get delivered from the darkness. All you got to do is take your light. All you got to do is walk in the light. And then you carry your light wherever you go. And when you get around the roaches, they're going to run, but some of them are going to stay. Because some of them are ready to hear. They're not all ready to hear. Some of them have already made a choice. They got a different daddy. I'm sorry. A lot of people are going to hell. That's what it says. Matthew 7:13-14. Most people are going to go to hell. Few are going to heaven. Who are they? Are we? Part of our armor is to be willing to tell others about Jesus, to show the light. That's part of our armor against the devil. Well, I'm just going to go to church. I'm just going to fill a pew. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to nod. I'll put money in the plate. Okay, I'll go read my Bible. I'm not going to teach a class. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to be a little secret Christian. It doesn't work. It's not God's way. Jesus said you're one of two. You're either for me or you're against me. And it's not what you think in your mind, because that's, you're just deceived. Ask the people around you. Am I for God or against God? But you see what I'm saying? Am I for God or against Him? He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You have to gather. Folks, let's pretend for a minute. Let me end with this and say this. I'm trying to help you overcome the devil. Let me ask a question. In this congregation, am I the sheep or the shepherd? Now, how do sheep reproduce? Does the shepherd do that? Is a shepherd involved with them reproducing? But we want it to be your job, Brother Harvey. You go out and get them. You go get all the sheep. Bring them in. And then when they're not here, it's your fault. How do sheep reproduce? I'm not asking for a visual here. I'm trying to help you understand something. We have to go gather. We show our light. Can I just say something here? This guy right here, he loves Jesus. Now, many of you have a lot of things that he doesn't have. You have more money every month than he has. You have use of both your arms and both your legs. You're able to walk straight. You have a mate. You have children. You have your own house. But this guy loves Jesus. And with everything he has, he says, I'm walking in the light. He says, could I just share a little light with you, Gene? He says, could I just share a little light with you, Mark? I love that brother. I've loved him since I met him. The woman had 2 pennies. Jesus says he stood over here and he watched people. They didn't take up an offering like this. They had a bucket. Everybody had to go up and put money in the bucket. Basically, I'm just making a short story if I can. And Jesus watched the people putting the money in the bucket. Pouring in all this. I got all this. And Jesus watched for a while. And then this little woman just comes up. She had 2 pennies. And Jesus, the story says that Jesus watched those people throw in a lot of money. And this woman, she came and she brought 2 pennies. And she put it in and said, I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. And she went on. No fanfare. No anything. But God himself said, hey guys, that woman, she only put in 2 pennies. And they're thinking, man, she should have put in more. That's not, that can't be a tithe. She can't have only made 20 cents. And Jesus says, you don't understand. Because of her penury, because of her want, she gave in all that she had. God himself drew attention for all eternity, because it's written in the Word. I want everyone in history to know about this woman. It's not the amount you put in. It's what's in your heart. Do you understand? I told you, when we first got in church, I used to put in $9.37. And the next week, I'd put in $9.38 because my paycheck was a half a penny, you know, like a penny different. So each week, I mean, I was that poor. And then I found out you're supposed to put in 10% of the whole thing. That meant $12. How do I put in $12? I was making a whole $120 a week, Dave. Looking for a raise, of course. I was making $120 a week. Sue and I had 4 kids. And I started putting in the $12. Because I said, if the Word says it, I'm going to do it. Now, it messed with me because I didn't, every week, I tried to figure out how bills were going to be met. And I always had more month than money. More bills than money. How am I going to do this? But because I honored God, God honored me. And he started breaking my pride 36 years ago by touching other people's hearts and said, hey, would you give them some groceries? hey, would you buy his kids some shoes? Hey, would you give him a tool while he's working as a machinist? You got two of them. Would you go and he needs some tires? God is faithful. The devil hates your guts. I would like to give you a lot of verses. And there's a lot of them. And I plan on coming in here and just reading a whole bunch of them and then start talking. But it didn't work that way. But I want to give you a whole bunch of verses about the devil. Because he hates your guts. And you deal with him every day. Every single day you have to deal with him. How to overcome him. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Go home this week and write down, what are the armor? What is part of the armor that will help me to fight the devil? The helmet of salvation. Am I really saved? How did I get saved? When did I get saved? Where did I get saved? What saved me? Because if you don't know those answers, how are you going to help anybody else get saved? I'll just bring them to you, Brother Harvey. Okay, do that. But let's help you. Right, Dave? Are you with me? You hear what I'm saying? What is the armor? It's okay. Let him go. It's the armor. What is the armor of God? You need it to fight the devil. Does anybody have any questions so far? Comments? Yes, sir.
For my personal truth.
Okay.
How the devil attacks me.
Okay.
He makes me believe that the truth will bind me.
The devil tries to get you to believe that the truth will bind you.
And that and I'd like to say, I don't know my English terminology.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
It is. It's the opposite. It's the exact opposite. Remember when Dave gave that answer we were talking about over there in Acts chapter 13 and verses 7 through 12, and Hannah read it, and it said, why do you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Pervert means to twist, to turn upside down, to make it say something different. Let me give you a thought. When you read the Bible, are you listening to me? It means what it says. I'm going to say that again, because that's really deep. And if you don't get that, you might as well quit trying to follow Jesus. When you read the Bible, it means what it says. You don't have to try to twist it and figure it out. It's real simple. I'm a drug dealer. I get saved. I get in church process. Got baptized. Now I'm a member of the church. Preacher, read your Bible every day. I finally start reading my Bible. He showed me it was more important to read my Bible and feed my spirit than it was to feed my flesh. So I started reading my Bible before I ate any food every single day. And my life dramatically changed. And it worked so good for me, I made it a rule in my house with the four kids. I said, kids, before you eat your breakfast, before you eat your cereal or your eggs or your oatmeal or whatever else you eat, toast, I want you to read your Bible a chapter before you eat. Janiyah was 6 years old. She was just learning to read. Dick and Jane, and he beat Fluff to a spot, and something like that. I don't remember the exact story, but something like that. And I said to Sue, okay, Janiah's six now. She's reading Dick and Jane. She needs to start reading her Bible. And she said, Harvey, she's only 6 years old. She's not going to understand everything. And I looked at Sue, this spiritual giant, and I said, Sue, do you understand everything in the Bible? No. I said, well, do you understand some of it? She goes, yeah. I said, she'll understand the parts God wants her to understand. Now, when you're reading the Bible, don't go read over in Ezekiel about the wheel and the four wheels and the thing and all of that. And don't go read Isaiah 21:5, whatever that verse was about. Okay? Don't go read Revelation and you want me to call me up at 10 o'clock at night. I just got a simple question. Would you explain the book of Revelation to me like some of you do? Here, let me give you a real simple thing that will change your life. You open the Bible and you say, if you want a prayer written down, it's in the Bible. It's Psalm 119, verse 18. And there's another verse that goes with it. It's Luke 24:45. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but you go look them up. Luke 24:45 and Psalm 119:18. I'm going to put it in my words. When you open the Bible, you say, God, this is your word. I'm going to read it. Help me to understand what you want me to understand. It's that simple. In other words, God, would you please come put the cookies on the bottom shelf so I can get a hold of them? And I don't care if you're 6 or 60, when you start reading, well, I don't understand the first 10 verses. I mean, it's not doing anything. But that 11th verse jumped out! Well, there's a reason it jumped out! Because God is saying something to you in that 11th verse. He's going, hey, hello, like, is anybody home? Now, don't go, oh, that was cute. It danced on the page. Oh, that was wonderful. Oh, I had these feelings. Write it down in a notebook. Write it down on a 3x5 card. If you need me to, I'll go buy you a stack of 3x5 cards. There was a time I had a stack of 3x5 cards bigger than that. And I don't mean end to end. Because I memorized verses. And that's how I did it. The verse jumped out, little simple sister, remember? And I would write it down. And then I would have you, little simple sister, say, read it and say, check me because I'm going to memorize this. And then I would repeat it back to you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, Harvey, you did good. Yay! Next. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou believe in thy heart. And that's how I started to memorize it. But it was the verses that jumped out at me. I wrote them down. And then I put them on a 3x5 card, and I carried them in my pocket. And then during the day while I was working, I didn't stop working on the tub. I pulled the verse out because I was trying to memorize it and think about it during the day. Oh, yeah, that's what it said. Put it back. You know I love you, brother. He's messing with you. Do you get it? And I meditated on it all day. Is that in the Bible, something like Psalm 1? Yes. Blessed is the man that walketh not in counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why do you think I did it. Because I read Psalm 1 and I saw it and I went, that's a promise! And I'm going to get in on it because I'm looking at everybody else sitting in church and I don't want what they have. I don't want to be like them. I want to be like Jesus. Don't set your sights or your goal to be like Brother Harvey. Set your sights or your goal to be like Jesus. Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. It's going to help. For the rest of your life, for you to live. I hate the devil. And I hate how he deceives you and tricks you and lies to you and tries to get you to believe stuff. The devil is a sly old fox. Like to catch him and stuff him in a box. Lock the door and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on me. I'm glad I've got salvation. I'm glad I've got salvation. I'm glad I've got salvation. I'm trusting in the Lord. The devil hates your guts. Aren't you tired of listening to him? Aren't you tired of following him? He doesn't have power over you. I'm sorry, this is next week's. He doesn't have power over you except what you give him. But you give him power over your life. If you do not open this word, you just gave the devil power in your life. You know why? Because you're going to listen to something. You're going to listen to people. You're going to listen to the television. You're going to listen to the radio. You're going to listen to rock and roll garbage. You understand? You're going to go on the computer. You're going to get something coming into you and you're going to believe it. You're going to believe Oprah as if she was God. And all that other reality show junk. Folks, love you. Do you know that? You can pray that God will just keep working on the rough edges on me. Please do. But I love you. And I love you, and I'm going to keep telling you the truth. Because the truth will make you free. And I'm tired of seeing you in bondage. Stand up. Here we go. You ready? Here's your prayer. Ready? Dear Jesus, I want to break agreement with the devil. And I'm going to say it again. I want to break agreement with the devil. In every way he tries to live in me. I want to start reading your word. Meditating on your word. And standing in the truth. And standing in the light. Because then I'll know that I'm standing in your presence, Jesus. I only want Jesus living in me. Now, Father, I'm asking that you would bless this congregation, bless each life, bless each family. I'm asking that you would protect them. I'm asking that you would just bind the work of the deceiver that's trying to get in their lives, and that, Lord, you would open their eyes, their hearts, and that you would help them to be aware. This week, Holy Spirit, make us acutely aware of where the devil's trying to deceive us or infiltrate our lives, or where we're making decisions to let him have a foothold in our life or to agree with him. Help us to be aware of that this week. So that as soon as we see it, we say, Lord, I don't want the devil. I want Jesus. And the Bible says if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. He'll run from us. But you got to resist him. So help us to be aware, Holy Spirit, of the devil trying to infiltrate our lives, our thinking, our choices, our actions. Help us to bring our lives into submission to the Word of God. Help us to go the next step and be accountable and ask people around us, hey, I'm wanting to walk with God. I'm wanting to live for God. But would you help me? Is there, because I made a choice. I'm going to do this. Is there something else I need to see in my life? And, Lord, that we would be open. Or I think this is true. Would you say something to me? And just because they say it doesn't make it true, but at least it gives you somebody else to think about what they said and you could pray about it. Now, Lord, I thank you for these few. I thank you. And I'm asking that you would make them solid, strong, rock soldiers for Jesus. I'm asking that you would turn their lives around so they would be victorious soldiers. Lord, that they would walk with you, that they would do things your way. And I thank you for blessing me by bringing them into my life. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would help us each to give our lives to you so that you could pray through us for other people that you would bring to our minds. People in this place, but also take our light out to other people to help bring them into the light. We say, thank you, Jesus. There's nobody like you. Thank you for entrusting us with the written Word of God. We love you. Amen.